Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here at Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. As you know, we're transitioning to the second hour. We're totally changing gears right now, even though everything we talk about is totally linked to global white genocide. And we're getting into some hardcore global white genocide in just a minute. As we talked about me, and by the way, we're bringing on my brother, Gene, the bitter ender, General Andrews. He's coming on. He's joining him and Monica, Miss Monica. They're going to run the show the second hour. I'm going to bring them in and out of the breaks. They're going to be talking about next week. We have Tom Goodrich, the one and only Tom Goodrich, and Paul English will be calling in from England. They're going to be talking about the book Hellstorm. They also did an audio book, Hellstorm. It'd be great if we had a video about that. But Miss Monica and Gene are going to be running that show next week, so you will not want to miss that. They're going to be previewing that a little bit tonight, and they're going to be talking about some other tragedies, just absolute beyond tragedies that happened at the end of World War II. So since Gene just came on, we'll bring him on. Say hello to all your fans out there, Gene. You have legions of them, brother.
Okay, I'll say hello to one of them out there. I think there's one or two. So I'll say hello to those two people.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people have less than that, Gene, that's your dang, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess we're going to take off on...
You know, I found out where Bitter Ender came from. This latest issue of the Barnes Review that has all the history, you know, what actually happened in history, not the politically incorrect guide to history. Their feature article this month was about the Boer War, when the British went down and just took South Africa away from the Dutch, the Boers. And they were the ones that were called the Bitter Enders, because they were fighting to defend their homes and their families from the British that came in and just moved in there and shoved them out of the way. And they knew they couldn't fight a conventional war, so they fought. They were excellent horsemen and crack shots, and the pictures they had in this article, I promise you, it looked like the Confederate cavalry of Bedford Forrest, with the beards and the slouch hats and the rifles slung across the saddles and things like that. So they really hammered the British, and the only way the British could defeat them was they rounded up all of the women and children that were left behind, burned the farms, slaughtered the livestock, just left thousands and thousands of carcasses of horses and cattle slaughtered all across the country there, and literally starved the Boers into the Dutch surrendering to the British and turning over their country to the British. What a nice bunch of people.
Yes, well, Gene, that's why I named you that, because Rich, our brother Rich Hamblin, sent me a photograph I think in a museum over there, they have, I may be mistaken, but it's kind of like a carving, a stone carving of the, and the name of the carving is, Rich will probably text it and correct me, and the name of that carving is the Bitter Ender. And,
yeah.
He's won the horse looked like he hadn't had anything to eat in 6 weeks. The soldier, he was slumped over, just like you said, he looked like he hadn't had anything to eat in 6 weeks, but he never gave up. That's why I always say to our people, Gene still has his sword, and he hadn't beaten it, no plowshare neither. And that's why I named you the Bitter Ender, Mr. Gene.
Well, it's an honor. It is an honor. I did not know where that came from, but I'm very honored to be associated with those people that were standing up for their homeland, just like our people in the South were trying to stand up for our homeland against a brutal invasion of an enemy that had no morals. They slaughtered civilians, raped the women, burn civilian homes. It's a war of genocide, and that was it. And our own U.S. government did the same thing to the South that the British did to the Dutch in South Africa.
You know, I take a great deal of not just pleasure, but I knew it. Hey, Rich tuned in. He said 35,000 died in British concentration camps, and he said there is a video version of Hellstorm put out by the Renegade Tribune, but I'm so honored that I could give you that name, Jim, because if anyone deserves it, you do. And I also take pride in naming Miss Monica, I've named her Braveheart, Miss Braveheart.
Yes.
But anyway, speaking of Miss Monica, you opened up a topic last week about these ships we were talking about. So if you will, why don't you lead off on that topic we talked about before the break, and then Gene, with his great knowledge, and he has the book, The Bad War. And y'all carry it for the. I'm just going to bring y'all in now. The breaks for the rest of the show, and I'm shutting up. So take off, Miss Monica. Tell the people what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Probably everybody on the face of this earth has heard about the Titanic. Yes, the Titanic is, you know, it went down and most of the people drowned and a terrible tragedy. Of course, now after they went and found out it might have been the sister ship. But anyway, that's not relevant to the point I want to make. How many people actually have heard the name the Wilhelm Gustloff? That was a refugee ship. It originally was built as one of these, like a cruise ship for Germans. Adolf Hitler, he believed that in providing the ordinary people should have the ability to have nice holidays. And so he had these ships built, and they were originally meant for, you know, holidays. Then when there were so many refugees coming, and these were German refugees who were fleeing the Red Army, and many of them ended up at the Baltic Sea and the shores and getting onto ships and boats. And so these pleasure cruise ships were repurposed to carry refugees. And the Wilhelm Gustloff then was, it was stuffed to the hilt. I think it probably was meant for 1,000 or 2,000 at the most. Maybe Gene will correct me on that, but there were around 10,000 people on it. And I think there were just over 1,000 survivors, maybe 1,200 survivors out of that when it was torpedoed in the dark of night. And it was torpedoed by, I thought it was the Russians. It was the Allies anyway, but
no,
somebody
it's the
said,
Russians.
It was the Russians. Okay. So they knew full well that this was a refugee ship, and they torpedoed it down. They knew full well who was on this, that it wasn't soldiers. It wasn't a Navy ship. So this was just pure desire to kill as many Germans as possible, which of course is, we'll be really talking about that next week too, with talking about this Hellstorm book with Thomas Goodrich. Because it was just absolute horror what happened in World War II with civilian deaths. And so, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, everybody's heard of the Titanic, but there were five times as many casualties with the Wilhelm Gustloff, and that wasn't the only ship that was torpedoed. Many, many, many ships. And I think that, Gene, you probably know a lot more about, you know, the details of that. So I'm going to stop talking and hand it over to you.
No, that was an excellent introduction there. They think, and they'll never know for sure because so many people were packed on there. There were probably between 10 and 12,000 people packed onto this ship, and they didn't care. They were standing on top of each other and packed in there like sardines, but they were getting away from the Red Army. The Red Army coming across Eastern Europe was just absolutely horrible, murdering civilians and raping women. They would be gang raped by the Soviet soldiers, and then they finished them off by crucifying them, the women, by nailing them to barn doors. So these were our wonderful allies that we were fighting with. And you mentioned George Patton. Patton said at the end of the war that he was just disgusted with the way it had turned out. One thing that had happened, Roosevelt put the word on Eisenhower to stop Patton from going in and capturing Berlin. And part of Patton's Third Army could have actually just walked into Berlin from the west and taken it over and stopped the Soviets. But Roosevelt, who was a communist, basically, and had communist handlers all in his cabinet, Alger Hiss and Harry Hopkins, and Roosevelt was dying anyway. He was about to die in April of a stroke. And he probably wasn't mentally capable of dealing with Stalin. So he told the American army to stand down and let the Russians come in and take over Eastern Europe and Berlin. and most of Germany, and just turned these people over to be slaughtered by the Russians or marched off to death camps out in Siberia and worked to death, which if they just shot them, it would have probably been a lot more humane. So the people were rushing west, trying to get away from the Red Army coming in, and they just packed this ship, the Wilhelm Gustav, and then it, as it left the port and was headed out into the Baltic Sea. Now, this is in January. They're not in sailing in the Caribbean, not warm Caribbean waters. Those are frigid waters, and there's ice flows out there and everything else. The Russian submarine, and it was commanded by Commander Marisnesko, waited for the ship to get out into the sea, where if they slammed three or four torpedoes into it and it started going down, it'd be virtually impossible for these people to get back to shore. And so they waited and that night, which made it even more horrible. And then they put three torpedoes into the ship, and it went down. And they think probably about 10,000 of that 12,000, or however many were on there, were lost at sea, which was about almost 10 times as bad as the Titanic. And that's all we ever hear about is the Titanic, and they made a movie, and they made a movie back in the 30s, and then the latest movie also. So that was just one ship that was torpedoed. And after the break, we'll talk about the other one.
Yeah. Goodness, it's just
well,
so
people, I'll tell you
terrible.
What, this is one heck of a show. And I told you it would be. I have a quick comment that to pass on that Rich, our brother Rich, texted in, if you will. It won't take me but a minute when we come back. So hold on, people. We'll be right back after this brief commercial.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to say something.
Well, dear people out there, dear Blood River Radio people, we're right back. I'm gonna make this few. I tell you, I knew. Our brother Rich would tune in if I asked him. I knew he would, anytime, anything we need from Rich, he always supplies it. And here's what it is. You know, I'm very proud of naming Gene the Bitter Ender, because if anybody could be named that, he could be. He's like, a living an ancestor of the one and only, the General Nathan Bedford Forrest. But anyway, the Bitter Ender, it's D-I-E. Bitterender. It's evidently that's Dutch. It looks kind of like German to me too. But the Bitterender is a bronze statue on the grounds of the Anglo-Boer War Museum in Bloemfontein, South Africa. I'm honored to even be associated with Gene. If you knew him, you'd know why I say that. And I'm glad. I take a great deal of pride I was able to name him. I give nicknames to everybody. And also, he said, Wilhelm Gustloff is spelled G-U-S-T-L-O-F-F. Rich is a scholar. The dude graduated from Vanderbilt University. I think with his degree was he could translate Greek, people. That's so you don't want to get into a intellectual match with Rich. He said that, like I said, Wilhelm Gustloff was a Swiss National Socialist martyr. And he said a lot of those refugees that were escaping came from Königsberg in East Prussia. In a minute, Miss Monica knows somebody. I think she said this there. Wait a minute, she'll go back and tell about this lady she knew. I think she said she was from East Königsberg. So, Gene, I think we go back to you, or do we go back to Miss Monica?
No, I think we need to go back to Monica and let her tell her personal connection to this. I think that would be very informative for our listeners out there. So, please, ma'am, would you go ahead?
Okay, yeah. In Toronto, there's quite a few German people who came from the East, and, you know, they were children during the war. I met some who were part of the expellees, you know, the largest mass expulsion in human history, as far as I know, took place after World War II ended, and many, many died on the way. And so anyway, this woman that I was billeted with, that I stayed with, she was, I think, 4 or 5 when she was in with her mother, and her mother also had her younger brother in her arms, and they were on the Wilhelm Gustloff, but the grandmother was, there was no space for her, and I don't know, maybe she was handicapped, couldn't get on or something, so they got back off. They did not want to leave the grandmother behind. They did not want to get separated. Anyway, that moment that saved her life. I mean, this woman would not be alive, but they got back off. I don't know if they were actually on it and got back off. I think they were in the big crowd. Like, it would have been pretty difficult to get off, but they were there to get on that, the Wilhelm Gustloff, and then they didn't want to be separated, so they didn't go on. And then, of course, the fate, as we all know. So, yeah, I was quite moved by that story of hers, you know, to meet this woman who was there as a small child.
And how fate, you know, they didn't want to separate. And I'm sure there were thousands of people on the dock that wanted to get on that ship and couldn't. And you look back and say that was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to them, that they couldn't get on. Well, I don't know, because the Soviet army was closing in on them. So you had the choice of being drowned at sea or brutalized by the Soviet soldiers. So not really a great choice one way or the other. And
no. And then there were so many other ships, and you were going to tell us about that.
Well, the other one that they mentioned in the book there, now the Gustloff was sunk on January 30th, 1945. And then April 16th, 1945, another Soviet submarine sinks the Goya, G-O-Y-A, and they estimate more than 7,000 civilians were killed in that submarine attack as well. Anyway, this is such a disgusting thing here of our great allies, the Soviets, and what they did. And then, of course, in February, Roosevelt and Churchill met with Stalin at Yalta in the Crimea and pretty much just agreed to give away all of Eastern Europe to the Soviets. And like I said, Roosevelt would die in April, and he was probably senile at this time anyway and in very poor health. And agreed basically to whatever Stalin and the Soviets wanted. So they agreed to let the Russians come into the war in the Pacific after Japan was defeated. The Russians declared war on Japan so they could take North Korea, parts of Manchuria and China, and arm the Chairman Mao and the Communist Chinese to fight against the Nationalist Chinese and drive them off the mainland back to Taiwan. And, you know, we just stood by and let it happen. So it's really a disgusting end to this so-called war to make the world safe for democracy. All it did was make the world safe for communism. And I think Patton, George Patton, realized what was going on. And his quote was, he said, "We butchered the wrong hog. We should have been fighting on the side of the Germans against the Bolsheviks." And that's why they had Patton killed. They claimed he was killed in a little automobile accident, which was basically a fender bender. You know, if you were backing out of a parking space and bumped into the car behind you, that was about the impact right there. But suddenly he died from that minor wreck because he said, told it like it was. And he was such a prominent figure in the history of the Second World War and such a prominent, outspoken person that they couldn't allow him to get on the news and on radio and print media and explain why the way we had knuckled under to the communists and to the Soviets and the globalists was such a bad mistake. So they had to shut him up. And just like they do today, anybody that speaks out against the system or vaccinations or stolen election or whatever, they are ostracized from the news media, from the internet, from anything like that, and they will never allow those people to speak and tell the truth. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, you know what we learned in school? We learned this was the good war. Yes. You probably learned the same thing. This was the good war. Oh, and then we learned all this stuff about Adolf Hitler wanted to take over the world. I mean, the lies and lies and lies. This is, it's just so backwards. It's so opposite of everything that happened. Because really that war, like you say, this allowed a big, huge advancement of the communist, you know, communism. I mean, oh my goodness, they basically got a huge chunk of the world.
Well, and it's another war that the United States, the lamp of democracy or whatever they call themselves, got into that we had no business being involved in. They should have let Germany take care of Russia, finish them off. And that thing about the lie that we've told about Hitler today, Germany tomorrow, the world, he never said that. That was Allied propaganda. And what I've been reading, factual information from David Irving and a lot of these, and M.S. King, a lot of these people that are reporting the facts, Hitler wanted the British army and the French army driven off the continent. That was it. And then after that, he was trying to make peace with the British and any way that he could and end the war. And the Churchill wouldn't have anything to do with it. He said they were going to invade the British Isles at any minute, which was never a plan by the Germans to invade England. And that's why all the British escaped at Dunkirk. Hitler didn't want to wipe out the British Navy or the British Army. He just wanted them off the continent. And they could keep their colonies in Africa and the Far East and whatever, and the British Navy, but just leave Germany alone. But we don't get that in history.
No, that's right. No, Hitler had a respect for the British, and he thought that, you know, they should be friends with them, and he always held out hope that they would be reasonable and that he'd put out peace offer after peace offer. And, you know, his right-hand man at the time, Rudolf Höss, he parachuted in. I think he landed in Scotland, and he wanted to, you know, bring a peace proposal. And then he was captured, and then he was held in prison for over 50 years. I think in 1989, after the wall came down, they were going to release him. But suddenly he committed suicide by hanging in the cell. And I mean, they kept a prison open with one inmate in it for many, many years. Spandau, he was the only prisoner. Yep. And what they did to that man, they just did not want him to get out in the world because he would tell his story. And that's why supposedly he committed suicide as an old, old man when they were going to release him.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The January report for the number of illegal immigrants encountered at the U.S.-Mexico border is set to be released soon. This, as the Biden administration continues to focus on addressing the root causes of migration. Lieutenant Chris Olivares with the Texas Department of Public Safety tells Fox News what he believes the root causes actually are.
It's much bigger than focusing on the root causes getting to those Northern Triangle countries. The root causes is the policy and also implementing the reinstatement Mexico policy, following through with that and putting more pressure on those governments in those countries.
At least one person is dead and four others are injured following a late night shooting in Blacksburg, Virginia. The first reports of shots fired just blocks from the Virginia Tech campus sent that school into lockdown overnight. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you suffer from joint pain, knee pain, arthritis pain? Billy Gerard for Revive One, the roll-on pain reliever. Just shake it, roll it on, and feel the relief. I love snowboarding, but my knees, they feel the pain. Revive One pain reliever changed all that. Shake it, roll it on, and I'm right back on the slopes. Gail G, she said that Revive One relieved her pain and helped her and her husband enjoy their walks again. Put an end to your pain with Revive One. Try Revive One on your pain risk-free. Go to painfreeland.com. That's painfreeland, all one word, .com. Use discount code SAVE20 for 20% off and free shipping. Revive One is so confident it'll work for you, there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Go to painfreeland.com or call 877-577-2289. The active ingredient in Revive One has been shown to temporary relief pain associated with arthritis, muscle strains, sprains, and more. Use only as directed.
Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine is now fully approved for adult use by both the FDA and the CDC. A CDC advisory panel giving the okay late Friday, and Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky gave her final stamp of approval not long after that. The FDA has already gotten the green light on the vaccine earlier in the week. Pfizer's COVID vaccine won full approval in August. This latest approval comes as the CDC puts the number of fully vaccinated Americans at more than 210 million. A SWAT team and hostage negotiators are responding to reports of a man throwing objects out of a 24th floor window of Chase Tower in Houston. The downtown office building is the tallest in the city, and the window the objects are coming from is broken. There are currently no reports of any injuries. Find us online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead, make my day.
Well, dear people, Blood River Radio out there, Joe Biden had the text me and tell me to unmute. Me and Joe Biden were both absent-minded. You know, we're both old geezers, and I forgot where I was and everything. But anyway, hey, we're right back with Blood River Radio, and I hope this is a spellbinding interview with these two great people we have on these two, my little sister and little brother. But, you know, I was talking to Rich a little bit, and he says that, and I agree with him, we didn't just let the Soviets run rampant over, you know, in World War II, Second World War. We gave them, the United States said we, the Yankee government, they enabled the Soviets. They gave them millions of dollars. Rich said probably more than $11 billion in materials and land legs that they'd never paid back. That was in 1941 dollars. And also, the United States government, I happen to know this, can you believe this? The Roosevelt government actually sent the printing plate, the place they used to print up dollars off these Federal Reserve notes, they sent them to Uncle Joe Stalin. They sent them to the Russians, and along with enriched uranium. You know, people, and I always like to link this to our website. Our key issue is to fight the rising tide of global white genocide. You correct me if I'm wrong. Russia, the Soviet Union, even though they were fighting the Germans, two opposite political theories, you know, they were both white people. It was, if you look at it, it was a white fratricidal war, whites versus white. The same thing going on. They're trying to get the Ukrainians against the Russians. That's kind of crank it back up again. That's for true. That's sure. It was the same old Jew, trying to crank up this global white genocide. And now I'm shutting up and going right back to Y'all are running the show, so whoever's next, I guess is it you, Miss Monica?
I'll just say one short comment here. By way of deception, thou shalt make war. Now, whose motto is that? And it's always been by deception to get the... I mean, they trigger the wars with some event, and it's false flag, and then they rile up the hatred in the one group of people against the others. And of course, World War One and World War Two, it was just this huge hatred against the Germans that was drummed up, so that then when people did find out some of the atrocities that were going on in Germany, they kind of didn't really care, you know, about all the killing of civilians and burning of, and oh, the horrible things that were happening there. But it's by way of deception, and then the incitement, the propaganda. How ironical when, you know, now there's these hate speech laws, you know, that talk about, oh, if you incite hatred in somebody, you know, then you're a criminal. And you know, I have firsthand experience with that. But it's like so ironical, because who is the one who is the best at inciting hatred? It's the Jews who have been pulling the strings behind these wars that cause these fratricidal, is that the way to say it? Wars, the brother wars, you know, whites killing whites. This should never have happened. It should never have happened. Okay, I should pass it on.
And one quick comment. If you notice, people, our government, Gene, they always stay. We always take whichever side that the communists are on. The United States fought; they were allies with the Russians in the Second World War. Now they hate the Russians because there's no longer communists there. Go ahead, Gene. I hope I didn't cut you off, brother.
No. That's fine. And you know, the things that this government sold out, not only sold out the German people who were trying to get away from the communists, they sold out our own prisoners of war that were captured by the Germans during the war, airmen that were shot down or American prisoners that were taken during the Battle of the Bulge, they turned them over to the Soviets. And the Soviets took them to Siberia, and our government let that happen, and we never saw those Americans again. So, you know, what kind of government, what person... And I include myself in the list of idiots, would ever volunteer to serve in the United States military when they're going to turn their back on you and do something like that, that they, when they reached the prisoner of war camps in Germany, American prisoners of war that had been taken by the Germans and were treated as well as they could because the Allies had bombed the living daylights out of Germany. The Germans were starving, and the American prisoners were starving. You know, there wasn't any food for the Germans. There wasn't any food for the American prisoners because they bombed the railroad. They bombed the highway bridges. They bombed anything that was moving out on the roads. So they couldn't get food to the American prisoners, the U.S. military prisoners. And so when the Allies came through and opened up these prisoner of war camps, and they turned around and turned these American prisoners over to the Russians. You have to wonder what kind of idiot that was running this country. Well, it was Truman then. Roosevelt had already died. What kind of idiot would stab our own military personnel in the back and turn them over to a cruel, barbaric, inhuman bunch of monsters like the Soviets and the Jewish Bolsheviks that were running this operation?
They must have known that was like a death sentence, yes?
Absolutely.
Gene? Like, yeah.
Absolutely, to be sent to Siberia and work to death in these death camps. And the American government never said anything about it. You know, it's just, you know, our good old Joe Stalin, we're buddy buddies with him. And these pawns are just, you know, lives to be thrown away.
Just like the American government went hush hush when the USS Liberty was shot down. Just like the American government turned on its own people 9/11. You know, I mean, that it's kind of a long history of that. But who's running the American government? Who bragged about actually controlling the Americans?
That's right. The Israelis or the Jews brag about it. They got up in their Knesset, and I think it was Netanyahu that said, "Don't worry about the American Congress. We own the American Congress." And not one of those cowards up there said, no, you don't own me, or that's incorrect. Or they just ran under the porch like a whipped puppy with their tail stuck between their leg and didn't say a word. So absolutely right. That's living proof as to who runs this country.
And how many standing ovations did which prime minister was it? Was it Netanyahu got when he visited the White House? It was an unbelievable number of standing ovations.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Like, who's running that country? And who is it that every single representative in your government has to swear allegiance to?
That's right, to a foreign country. Has to swear allegiance to a foreign country. A elected representative to the United States Congress has to swear allegiance to a foreign country. That shows you how loyal they are.
That's true.
So no wonder they just turn their back on the border along the Rio Grande or Texas, or they're more concerned with Israel than they are taking care of our own people.
So with all those questions and answers, we know who is actually running the United States of America and Canada, for that matter. It's the same thing here.
Yeah, follow the money trail. So, you know, see where the money is going. So anyway, back to our history there. Between 1945 and 1950, Stalin murdered as many as 1 million German prisoners of war that were executed and tortured after the war. And from 1945 to 1949, over 10 million Germans were expelled from their homes, and they estimate probably 2 million died from starvation and other typhus and all the other diseases that come with something like that. That's just, you know, something that we set up. The United States doesn't have much to be proud of. And
and those figures are probably conservative, I would say, you know, that because I've heard estimates of 16 million expellees, but I don't know, you know.
Well, that's probably closer to the actual number than what actually happened. So it's really, and you brought up the traitorous activity of the United States government in 1967 in collusion with the Israelis to sink a United States naval ship, the USS Liberty, and try to kill, I think, Eddie, you can probably correct us on the number there, 294 American sailors and Marines on board that ship. And the plan was to sink it and take down the ship with no survivors. So there's only one story of what happened. But they didn't sink it. And I think it was 32 American sailors and Marines on there died, and there were 170-something that were wounded, and the ship was able to get away and limp back. But we've had the people on the program on Blood River Radio that were sailors that were survivors of that and told their story. But the worst part of that, as bad as that was, that they rigged the ship was strafed, fired rockets, machine gun fire. So many of the sailors were killed out on the decks, deliberately took out their communications. And one of the sailors rigged a homemade antenna and got out the message that the U.S. ship was under attack. And they sent planes to defend them, and then they were called back on the word of Lyndon Johnson.
Well, guys, we got to go to a quick break. And yes, sir, that was the only time in history the United States Navy ship has ever been napalmed by our Israeli allies did it. People, we'll be right back. We're going to our last segment. Hang on.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear people, God bless y'all for tuning in. God bless y'all for supporting this show. This is a very emotional show. And don't forget, people, next week, the 12th, we're going to have the bitter ender, Mr. Gene, in, and Braveheart, Miss Monica Braveheart. They're going to be coming in. They're going to be running the show with Tom Goodrich and Paul English doing the movie. There's going to be an audiobook, Hellstorm. And they're also, well, of course, Tom Goodrich wrote the hardcover first, and then they also have an audio version of it. And Paul English is the one that does the audio. He's extremely knowledgeable about what went on during that time and all through the Second World War. But, Gene and Monica were refreshing my memories about some of the things. Just to go back to the USS Liberty, I don't know if I got it in before we went to the break or not, but that ship was attacked June the 8th in 1967. Listen, it was the only time in history that American Navy ship has ever been napalmed. Only ship that's ever been napalmed. It was napalmed by the stinking Jew Israelis. And get this, I'm going to say one more time. We have a caller. These Jews, they're so damn arrogant. They have a life raft with holes shot in it in one of their war museums there in Tel Aviv. And you tell me that's not rubbing crap in our face. I cannot imagine that. If it was up to me, we would nuke that whole country. We would turn it into a damn glass parking lot. And we have a caller online right now, our friend and yours, the one and only Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy dropped off. He'll be calling right back, hopefully. Anyway, Gene, until
well,
Mr.
Eddie,
Buddy
that
calls
wasn't
back,
the only
can
thing.
You go ahead and
they attacked it for over 2 hours from the air. And tell me that was an accident. If you keep repeated airstrikes for over 2 hours against a ship that was flying a garrison flag, and a garrison flag is about the size of the end of your house, and it had American markings on the ship, that was no accident. And then they still couldn't sink it, so they sent torpedo boats out there, fired four torpedoes, three of them missed, and one of them hit. And that was the one that put the huge hole in the side of it, and the ship started to roll over right then. But luckily they were smart enough and had a good enough captain on board and crew to counter flood it and bring the ship back up semi to the correct position. And they said that fortunately that torpedo, when it penetrated the bulkhead, it detonated itself by hitting an I-beam. They said if it had gone all the way through the bulkhead, through the side of the ship, and exploded deep in the ship, it would have just lifted it up out of the water, and it would have gone down in just a matter of minutes. So, yeah, that was our good allies that did that. So that was no accident. It was deliberate. It was an attempt to draw us, to totally eliminate that crew, sacrifice them, and then give us an excuse to go to war with Egypt on the side of Israel. So that's the good old U.S. of A, what they've done right there. Just one side note there. You know, when I was a little kid, I guess first grade, there was a TV series that came out called Victory at Sea. And it was won several awards for the music in that. And it was a documentary about the battles that the United States was involved in the Pacific and in Europe. And, of course, as a little kid, I thought the Americans were the good guys and the Germans and the Japanese were the bad guys. But the more I've read and the more I've seen what kind of lies have been foisted off on us, I was channel surfing the other night, and they had that movie Tom Hanks in Saving Ryan's Privates, or no, wait, Saving Private Ryan. Anyway, I found myself pulling for the Germans. The American characters were so obnoxious and so arrogant and so disgusting, I thought, and the Germans showed some class, and I've always admired Rommel and Hans Guderian and a lot of the German officers.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
They were the class.
Piper?
If you compare
we have Mr.
our
Buddy
officer
back.
Corps against theirs, they were...
We have Mr. Buddy back.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Buddy. Hey, Mr. Buddy, how you doing, my brother? How you doing? Yes, sir.
Pretty
this
good.
Is Eddie.
Listen.
You're on your own Blood River Radio.
Okay. Listen, you all covered the treachery of the U.S. and England over there in Europe. And I was a little slow to get online, but I want to bring out one thing to take you to the Pacific and the treachery that Franklin Roosevelt used to get us in the war, and that was provoking the attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, Herbert Hoover started writing a book and traveled both theaters of the war. He did that right after the war and put together a tremendous book, but he died before he could get it published. The manuscript laid in the Hoover Museum or whatever it is in the on the West Coast until 2011, and somebody discovered it and had it published. It's 956 pages, and as we know, Roosevelt tried everything in the world to get Germany to fire some shot at us so that we could go to war against Germany with England and France and Russia. That didn't work, so he went to the Pacific and set up the Japanese. And this is one thing that Herbert Hoover uncovered, that we were putting a stranglehold on Japan just as hard as we could to make them fire the first shot. And here's a little piece of information that very, very few people know. The Prime Minister Prince Fumimaro Konoe of Japan in the fall of 1941 wrote Roosevelt, or contacted Roosevelt twice, to meet with him either in Alaska or Hawaii. Now, they were territories then. They were not states. He offered to meet with Roosevelt in either one of those places. He put out the offer twice, and Roosevelt did not even reply to it. But he wanted to discuss things to stop the war. And that's just another indication of the treachery of the U.S. government when it comes to these types of wars. And I just wanted your audience to know about that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Buddy. Thank you so much. You're absolutely right. I would love to get that book. It kind of reminds me of the one that put out by Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope of the History of the World in Our Times. It's that in-depth. It's that detailed. I wished I could get it. I wished I had time to read that sucker. But thank you so much, Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy's one of the best friends of Blood River Radio, one of my best friends you could ever want to have. Gene, Mr. Buddy is always coming in with this great information. So back to you, Gene.
That's absolutely correct. There's another excellent book. I think it's Thomas Lott. It's called Day of Deceit. And it lists all the things that Roosevelt did to try to push us into war with Japan, and how he was withholding information from Admiral Kimmel, the Navy commander in the Hawaiian Islands, and General Short, the Army commander. And they were just set up, basically. That fleet was used as sitting ducks for an attack to, and they knew it was coming, and used those, sacrificed all those sailors and Marines and Army personnel on the islands there to have an excuse to get us into a war, and made that phony speech, December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy. Well, he knew ahead of time that was going to be a date that was going to live in infamy, because it was set up for that. So, once again, example of the good old U.S. of A. and the crooked dealings that we have from these people in top. And, you know, of course, it worked. It, you know, the isolationists in this country, like Charles Lindbergh and so many others that didn't want us being involved in a war in Europe or in the Pacific, they were just wiped out in one day, because the war fever was just going, you know, full speed here after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And people didn't realize till after it was much, much, much too late and the war was over that it was a set-up deal. So, once again, you know, why would any country anywhere on the globe ever trust the word of a U.S. president or the United States of America? It's an embarrassment to people, the way we've conducted ourselves. And
so. You know, you are so right. You know, I was, before we go to Monica, I don't know. I say the government signed them on the Potomac, since it is run, it may be the only government in history that's run 100% by Jews. I don't know. But, I mean, I think that's probably why. I'm sure that's why we live under the most evil, conniving, sneaking, backstabbing, cowardice governments that ever lived, much more so than the Soviet Union, I would say. At least the Soviets, you know, these other, the aggressors, they were out in the open. You knew what they wanted to do. But our people, they're so sneaky and backstabbing, they'll kill their own people. By the way, Rich said that the Bob Stinnett, S-T-I-N-E-T-T, may be the author of that book you were talking about, Day of Deceit. But anyway, Miss Monica, we're getting close to the end of the hour. I'd like to bring you in, let you chime in on all this stuff that Mr. Buddy said and Gene said, and I texted in what Rich said. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said now, Eddie, about who's running the government, this is something that is absolutely essential for people to know and understand. You know, I mean, we have to just educate the people who's behind it. But, you know, we've been so trained not to even say the word Jew that it's pretty hard. Like, but anyway, we could, yeah, this is who's doing it. It's not government for the people, by the people, of the people. No, it's been hijacked. We don't have a functioning democracy at all. This actually, it's Ezra Pound who said democracy is Jew speak for country run by the Jews. I think that's a quote attributed to Ezra Pound, you're a great poet from the United States, right? And that's what they've done. I mean, anyway, by way of deception thou shalt make war, that's what they've done. And I really look forward to next week talking with Thomas Goodrich and Paul English about the Hellstorm book. It's a very difficult book to read because it's such difficult material, but it is really important that we understand the truth. Everything that they accuse the Germans of having done and being so evil and barbaric and bad, and that we have to wipe out the Germans and now by extension the white race, it's they that did this to the Germans, and the Allies did it. And of course, everybody was so under spell of all the propaganda. So they thought the Germans were just so bad. And that was the Red Army.
Looks like we were completely out of time, Miss Monica and Miss Jean, Mr. Jean. I want to thank you two people for coming on the night. Man, I tell you what, y'all are just dynamite. Not only do I love y'all to death, y'all are just super, super intellectual individuals. And I'm so glad you two will be back next week. I've always said it several times. I'll say it one more time. Next week, the 12th, people, the same crew will be back again. Miss Monica, Braveheart, the bitter ender, Gene Andrews, will be back carrying the
and
show with Tom
to
Rivers and Paul Andrews.
Being our fact
about
checker.
Yeah, Rich is going to fact check you, man. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. And again, Monica and Gene, thank y'all so much. Y'all made this show. Good night, everybody.